quick.
Go.
Name the GM of the Oregon Ducks football program.
Yeah, it's the guy from Texas A&M. He's kind of got a funky name.
It's a funky last name. It's Marshall Malchow or something like that?
It's double M's. He's Eminem.
Malchick?
Something like that.
Malchick? Malchow?
And I don't think he's the GM. I think they have a different...
His name is Marshall Malchow.
Yes.
Or perhaps Malchow.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Some white guy. I don't know. And he is the general manager.
I thought they called him the chief of staff.
This says general manager, but it's not off the official Ducks website.
Maybe he was promoted.
Well, like chief of staff, they don't always call them general managers, but they act as a general manager.
But sometimes the chief of staff can do more day-to-day stuff, whereas the GM may be doing more of the financials and things. So I'm not sure it's always the same person.
He's from Augusta, Georgia, and he went to Alabama.
Yes, and that's where he met Lanny, and I believe at Alabama. And then he went on. He was the guy that put together. Remember when old Slice Bread was talking about the Texas A&M? It was the number one recruiting class of all time.
Yeah.
He was the guy that put that together. And so I think when Lanny ended up at Oregon, they always had this deal of, hey, when I land someplace, we're going together. And that was one of the first hires that he made.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is true, but it's just something I think. And it's that if we, I don't know, maybe I'm just an old school guy. Like, I just think if more is being said about your GM, that is bad for your program. Because I know it's an important job. It's the rise of the college football GM it's a thing.
Yes.
But I just still think it's about the head coach more than anything.
That you hope they're not making news, your GM, or that they're just kind of behind the scenes?
Yeah, like, well, I was reading an article about the highest paid college football GM. Do you guys know who it is?
Maybe someone at Texas, Ohio State.
He's a famous name. Yeah.
Well, they've hired some other ones. Like I remember, like Andrew Luck, right? I think is that guy at Stanford.
It's who Belichick hired. It's David Lombardi. Yep. To North Carolina.
Michael Lombardi.
Lombardi. There you go.
Yep. North Carolina's general manager is making $1.5 million per year, and he's the former. He's a media guy, right? Isn't he? Or
Lombardi?
Yeah.
I think he was in.
I thought he was a media guy.
I think he served for a long time in NFL front offices. Oh, there's a bunch of those guys that have done both.
So Belichick hired him.
Yes.
And so his contract runs through 2028. His bonus structure pays out 1 month's salary for a non-elite bowl game and 1.5 months for an elite non-college football playoff game, 2 months' salary for reaching the college football playoff for the ACC championship game.
Okay.
So they gave him a lot of dough.
Yeah.
On the list.
By the way, he has a long list of being he was a chief scout. He was the player. Okay. He was director of player personnel for the Eagles, the Raiders. He was one of those guys.
Well, I don't know how much Malchow.
And by the way, he is listed officially on their website as the chief of staff.
I don't know how much he makes, but I'm just pointing out that I'm glad we don't know his name.
Yeah.
Because we'd make too much. Because I'm sure they're going to make way too much of Michael Lombardi.
Sure.
That is really about Bill Belichick and his staff coaching up in recruiting and coaching.
Yes.
Right?
And a lot of the job as the general manager is now, it's managing your salary cap. Every school has a salary cap. And so, like someone kind of jokingly put in, you're the director of the bag. And it's essentially right. When you're the general manager, it is now your job to mind the transfer portal. It's your job to know how much money you have for NIL, how it's going to be allocated. It is not an unlimited resource. Now you have to figure out what you're going to do with the revenue share, who gets what, all of that stuff. So yes, in a broad sense, the general manager is in charge of money distribution and building a team because you now have to pay for your team.
So I wonder if we're just because the thing that sets Lombardi apart, and I'll read you who the next highest paid GMs are in college football right now. The thing that sets Lombardi apart is he was actually a GM.
Yes.
As you mentioned.
Yes.
So you just wonder when are we going to get to the point where the college football GM is just they're front office execs from the NFL.
Sure.
Or they've actually done this. It's interesting that he's the only one that was actually a general manager. And I get that the
roles aren't quite the same.
Yeah, they're not quite the same. But at the same time, it would be good to have had experience in a general manager role in football.
Yes. I guess the difference would be in the NFL is you can acquire a lot more talent in college because there's no real, there's nothing real to stop you.
But isn't it, but some of it's just flat out scouting and like
yes.
figuring out which players are worth the money. Yes. That's the, yes.
There is an element of, so I've talked to enough people behind the scenes where there will be something along the lines of this. You go into an off season and you say, hey, for instance, let's take Oregon. Oregon had three offensive line positions that needed to be filled. And you look at that and you need, as a GM, you need to sit down with Dan Lanning and say, okay, what do we have coming through, right? We lose both of our tackles and we lose a guard, right? What do we feel about our depth coming up? And Lanning and the GM sit down and say, well, no, we probably need at least one, probably two tackles. And, you know, we could use a guard as well. Cool. What do we do about quarterback? No, we feel pretty good about quarterback. We got Dante Moore. We got a couple backups. We got some young guys we like. Cool, that's there. And so you take that and you're like, all right, so what's our budget? And now you go out and it's that general manager's needs to know what the market is for tackles. He needs to understand how much is it going to cost us to go get tackles. And Oregon got, by the way, three premier. They got the number one and probably number four tackle in the portal. They landed, I think, the number two guard out of USC. And it's up to the GM to then figure out, all right, if we allocate this, do we have money to go out and get the safety we need or to get the defensive lineman?
Right, but
we
still think that the safety you need or the defensive lineman you need is the talent evaluation is coming from the coaches.
Yes.
And the head coach.
Yes.
So I just wonder when are we going to get to the point
scouting department
where the college football the college football GM is more important than the coach.
It's interesting.
Because we're not there yet.
No. And you wonder too when they will start deploying, because it's such a, there's so many teams to look at. You wonder how many who's the Michigan guy, the scene stealer?
Scene stealer? Or, do you mean sign stealer?
Connor Stallions.
You wonder how many times, and this may be a budgetary thing, but are going to start putting together like NFL-like scouting staffs that their whole job is to just not just scout other teams, but when you're scouting other teams, start identifying players that we can go snag in the offseason.
Think about this. The first coach, because these coaches, and Lanning has even talked about this, they are spread way too thin.
Yes.
Which is why they have to have a GM and a big staff, right?
Yeah.
The first coach to go, you know what? I am going to hire, I'm going to put my resources into my GM and his staff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let them find me the players. Now, we're going to be on the same page in terms of what I need, what I want, what I look for.
Yeah.
But I am going to take that completely off my plate and let them give me a team.
Yeah.
And I am going to spend all of my time coaching up that team. Mm. The first one that has success doing that is it's going to change the game.
Well, maybe Bill is the first guy that's going to attempt to do that, but he won't be around long enough to probably see the fruits of those labors at North Carolina. He'll be there for 3-4 years tops, and then he'll move on. But it certainly feels like this is...
See, right now, I just feel like college
that way.
College coaches don't want to relinquish control.
Yes.
Like, well, they still feel like there's not the college scouting... there just aren't a lot of people with that acumen. Like, who's going to sit down and tell Dan Lanning, I know I can build a better roster than you can? You can't.
Well, and this is the problem in the NFL, is we see so many coaches that want the GM role and they can't do it. I think Bill's really been the only one that's been successful. Well, in college,
It's two different roles.
And in college so far,
It's still only one.
And it's going to be hard to wrestle it away from
Bingo.
Big ego coaches that, like you said, that's going to be a tough task.
So after Lombardi, USC's Chad Bowden makes in the $1 million range. Vince Merrow left Kentucky for Louisville to earn $1.2 million. Mark Pantoni, among the longest tenured in the space and the owner of the most recent national championship, signed a 3-year deal this offseason starting at $900,000. Texas Tech's James Blanchard turned down Notre Dame to sign a 3-year deal worth $1.6 million. Alabama's Courtney Morgan will make a reported $825,000 in 2025.
Sounds like a decent bargain.
And Jim Nagy left the Senior Bowl for a $750,000 salary at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You're just
there to raise money and distribute it and make sure you
these costs aren't going up yet because they're still worried about how they're going to pay players.
Yeah.
But once they get all that settled and they get a couple of new TV contracts and they have a bunch of money coming in, once college football is actually bringing in the revenue that it should. Yeah. This right here, yeah. These positions, that's where the money's going to go.
You wonder too, like people are saying on here, and it's a valid point, recruits want to connect with the people who will be coaching them. That's true. But more and more, you have to have the money to pay them. And you wonder if we start to see less of the coaching connection and more like a pro model where, hey man, this is about dollars and cents. Cause now it's about dollars and cents, but there is that connection. You've yet to see that really become the true pro model. And you're right. It'll be interesting to see over the next handful of years, because it certainly feels like it's trending that way.
All right. We will wrap up the sports hour here on the program. Coming up next on The Fan. So the listeners looked this up. Or a listener, not all of them, just one of them. But all it takes is one, Jace. Mm-hmm. And Marshall Malchow? Does anybody know how to pronounce it correctly?
Malchow. I don't know. I do not know.
Malchow. It ends in a W.
I'll see if I can find an interview.
He's the chief of staff at Oregon. He made $501,667 last year.
He should ask for a raise.
Well, he got there, and so it gives his salary for each year he's been there, because, of course, public institution.
They're saying it's pronounced like the replacement's quarterback, Shane Falco, so Malcho.
Or Malco?
Malco? Falco? Yeah.
Can
that was not
can
good.
You clip all that? I want to go listen to that again. He said, it says it's like Falco, so Malchov.
Falco.
Falco? So Malcho?
Malco.
Malco?
Malco.
Malco.
So the W can't mean anything.
Okay. Marshall Malco.
Malco.
This
according to 247 Sports.
He made $264,000 his first year. $444,000 the next year, and $501,000 last year. So he has almost doubled his salary in, you know, three seasons.
Well, they are. I think right now on the recruiting rankings, it's one of those things, because they don't have as many commits. USC, I think, technically has the number one recruiting class, but Oregon per commit, it's the highest rated class.
Yeah, but again, I wonder how much of that is Lanning.
Yeah, versus,
and who could you be? Could you be trained to be the chief of staff? You sit down with Lanning, and you could do the same thing.
I have been told that one of the first things that Lanning did when he got here was he wanted this guy.
Yeah,
that he knows recruiting. He knows how to train the coaches to go recruit. Mm. Oregon has a, I don't know how much they want to talk about. Oregon has they have a recruiting playbook that they make their coaches. It's like, if you're a salesman and you're a great salesman, right, you want your sales staff all trained in the same way. And
it's like Oregon, a big seminar.
Yes.
They've come up with the way that works for them, and they want to spread it through the group.
And this guy is part of that. And then he is, again, handles the money and makes sure it gets where it needs to go and all of that. So, how much of that is him versus Dan Lanning the recruiting? I think that certainly is a team effort. I think there's a ton that goes into that. Who's in charge when they come to the recruiting visits and the photo shoots? They are a well-oiled machine. And like, USC had their head up their ass for a long time when it came to this. And you mentioned they went and hired someone that's making a bunch of money now. And all of a sudden, USC's got their NIL in order, and USC is putting together one of the best recruiting classes in the country. So, you know, whether this is all Dan Lanning and how much of this goes to the chief of staff or the general manager, it is becoming, in a sense, that if, like in the NFL, you have to have a good GM, you have to have a good head coach, you have to have a good owner. That's becoming college football. Have to have an elite coach. You got to have a guy that's in on whatever you want to call him as a general manager. And it certainly helps to have an owner. And by owner, I just mean school or booster that gives you financial backing. Because if you don't have it, there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's a dollars and cents thing. If you have remember when Jimbo left Florida State, what did he say about Florida State? He's like, I can't get anything done. I can't get the money that I need. I can't get the facilities that I need. And he left for A&M. And, you know, you've heard this many times about programs. UCLA has a terrible problem with this. It's just hard to get anything done. But when you're at Oregon or you're at Ohio State, dude, you snap your fingers and say, hey, we need X, Y, Z. And whether it's donors, the administration, or whatever, they
Well,
they get the resources that they need.
There's a reason that man's salary has almost doubled.
Yes. They're saying it's pronounced like the replacement's quarterback, Shane Falco, so Malcho.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. Good times.
Why
They're
did
saying
you say
it's,
that?
It's pronounced like the know. Replacement's quarterback, Shane Falco, so Malcho. I guess I can't get over the way it looks.
Malcho.
Because it's M-A-L-C-H-O-W.
Yeah.
And so it's that, and then it's right next to Falco, which is F-A-L-C-O. I guess I can't get the...
mental how, block there?
Well, there's a C-H and a W. I can't get over it. They're saying it's pronounced like the replacement's quarterback, Shane Falco, so Malcho. Malco.
This is one of my favorite new drops. Well, I'm not going
to Doesn't need to be shortened, Shane Falco, so Malcho? Or do we want the front part there?
Well, it's long. If he, the, yeah, the best it's long. Clips are you got to find it. A way to...
All right, we'll tighten it up.
Diner up.
Falco, so Malcho.
Malcho.
Where's it? We need a tag to a.
Oh, God.
To a tag Ovalia.
Ovalia.
Me and my POTUS.
You guys.
That's like horseradish.
Pretty much the same guy, am I right?
One and the same.
I need Being a man of increase?
I need better hair and a orange tan.
Maybe 200 more pounds.
Apparently a 2.8 handicap.
Yeah.
Greatest in presidential history.
Does he say he's a 2.8?
Oh, yeah. He won his 36th club championship over the weekend.
Doesn't he claim he weighs like 230 or something?
6'3", 215, I think.
215?
Yeah.
He hit a drive the other day.
He weighs 215?
And look, the guy can golf. He actually can play
it's
golf.
It's a weird swing, but...
he can play golf. He likes golf. And so he had a drive the other day, and his Twitter account was like,
well, it
look
was to
this.
Open his new course, Trump Turnberry, and it was the inaugural shot. So it was a high pressure shot, and he striped it.
Yeah, right down the middle of the fairway. And
but
they're
then
like,
we have
oh,
to.
Look at this, 282 yards right down the middle.
What?
That's what they wrote on there.
Okay.
And somebody went through and looked at the yardage book at that golf course.
220.
215.
Well, he's
and it was a great shot. He's 79. It's fine.
Right,
you don't have to do that.
So, I have a good buddy of mine, Liquor Rick, who was basically a professional golfer. Dude is ridiculous, but he's in his 70s now, and you don't hit the ball 290 down the middle when you're damn near 80. And by the way, come on, 226. That's
215.
I think the last one I looked it up. They're claiming 226, 226 or 215. No, his weight.
Oh,
which is
weight.
Worse? Which is the bigger lie? 292 down the middle or that he weighs 226?
Ooh.
Come on.
Well, what does he really weigh, do you think?
Because he's my height.
So he's hitting it about 220 off the tee.
He's
saying 280, 290. That's, it's kind of the same thing.
It's kind of the same thing because he probably weighs about 280.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say 275.
I think
the bigger lie is the weight.
The weight.
Because... I don't know. I think more people are like, what? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's called
Whereas
sports.
Golf, some people may be like, all right, nice drive.
Yeah, they said their claim is from April 16th, 6'3", 224.
It's amazing. All right. We will be back with Club Radio, a legend maybe going away next on The Fan.
They're saying it's pronounced like the replacement's quarterback, Shane Falco, so Malcho.